Good to be here once again. Today we're going to talk about God, our Father, or being our Father. I've been going through the identities of Jesus, and last time I was here I talked about the glory of Jesus. So I'd want to talk about Jesus and Him being our Father. If we would turn to Matthew 5. We'll start in verse 43. Just read a few. So this is Jesus speaking here. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time that we could come here on this beautiful Sunday morning and learn about you and praise you and worship you today. And please help that you just speak through me the words that you would want us to hear, and we'll be able to apply it to our lives, and that we will all learn from you. In the name of Christ we pray. So, we all have a dad, right? Everyone here has a dad, so we could all relate to this in some type of way. We all have a biological father. So, how can we see God as our Father, our personal Father? Is He actually our Father? What is our picture of a Father? Like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you say Father? I know for me, I think of my dad. Immediately think of my dad. For others, they think of father figures, and such as like Father Abraham and things like that. Me, I think directly of my dad. What is this a father supposed to do? Now, there's many things a father is supposed to do, like on earth, and what are they supposed to do? Here's just a couple. You're supposed to bring up the children, provide, teach, guide, lead, unify the family, protect, and love. Now, that's obviously it's just a few things, but we're going to talk about those things and how God can directly be our Father here on earth, and how he can directly touch us from where he is today. And God is here with us, because when the two or three are gathered, he's with us, but he's here with us now. So how is he our Heavenly Father? We see in these verses, I'm going to take, he guides us. Ye have heard that, in verse 43 and 44, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. He is saying, you know, this is whatever the people tell you, but is this a correct saying? But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now we see, he says this in this verse, and Isaiah 53, we see that not only did he say it, he practiced it. Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was afflicted, he was oppressed. He was brought to a lamb at the slaughter, and a sheep before the shears. I skipped around there, but you see, he was persecuted on an everyday basis. People didn't like the things that Jesus did on an everyday basis. And yet he still was steadfast. And he says that even in verse 45, that the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun rise on the evil and on the good. So he not only treated the good good, but he treated the bad good. So he teaches. So guiding and teaching are very similar, right? So one thing, when I thought of guiding, it was a tour guide. If you guys have ever been on a tour, the people that just know way too many facts just about that general area, you know, and this was set up here, and this wasn't here 5 years ago, and they're going backwards on it and telling you what you're going forward, and they already know what's coming up. And they're teaching. They're going along and teaching. Something that a father will do is, on an everyday basis, will teach his children. When I was shoveling in the yard, and we were working in the yard, and there was flowers. There was dandelions in the grass. And as a little kid, dandelions are awesome. So I'm like, Dad, these dandelions are great. Let's get them all over the place. And he's like, no, son. He's like, even though they look good, they could be bad for you. They're terrible for the grass. That's one of the reasons we've never had green grass. We have yellow grass and purplish grass because of the little flowers. But he would teach in an everyday setting. So as we were going through life, he was teaching. Just as the tour guide will teach as you're coming along. They're backing up and they're showing this and showing this, and they'll teach you about those certain things. That's what our earthly father is supposed to do, and supposed to teach as we're going. Our heavenly father, as we go, will teach us these little lessons that sometimes we wouldn't see before. Like this morning, we took a couple scriptures that we have seen several times, and we tried to apply something new to them. There's one thing too with bringing scripture, and it is very hard to like come up with sometimes what you want to speak on, and in your head you're like, let me come up with something new that they never heard before. And if you can figure what that is out, chances are you're probably wrong, because you know Christianity has been around 2,000 years, and if you come up with something new, you're probably not teaching it right. So it's a good reminder to be, you know, a good child. In a little while too, we're going to talk about how to receive this instruction from your father too. So he teaches. One way to teach is discipleship. Discipleship is like a one-on-one. Instead of like in a group setting or a classroom setting or a group like this, you take a person one-on-one. I know downstairs, me and Edwin will talk about like little things, and it's not really a discipleship or anything, but it's close to it, because we'll talk about things that maybe we wouldn't talk about up here, but it still applies to scripture and things like that. So that would be more like a discipleship thing. And I know with my children, when I take them in a group, it's good, and they like it, and they love it, and they all sit on me in a group, but each one of my children needs their specific time. And if I don't show them their specific time, it shows in their attitudes and in their behavior. So when the Lord teaches us, yeah, he's here with two or three, but also he's in here. If we accept him, he's in our hearts. He's there with us to stay. He's there in our every day. And it's all we have to do is call on him, no matter what time of day, and he's there. So he takes that one-on-one time with us. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring you all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He will teach us. There's times where when we get in front of people and we get nervous, and what are we going to say? Are we going to have the right answer? And when we have a proper teacher teaching us along the way, and then he says, send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. If you're talking about spiritual things, and that's what's on your heart, and that's what's on your mind, and you're living right, he will allow you to remember when you need to remember. when that other person is going through that tough time, because you had good teaching, you are going to be able to teach well. And he will help you remember. Biggest way of teaching is, I always, to me, was by example. You know, it's easy for me as a father to say, don't do that, put that down. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I tell my daughters, don't yell. 2 minutes later, I'm, hey, cut that out. You know, I'm over there yelling at them. And it's hard for me. You know, they see me yelling, so they think it's okay to yell. And, you know, I have to lead by example. You know, one thing that my daughters like to try to do is stick their finger in the outlet. They don't see me doing it, so you would think they would stay off of it a little bit. Or the other thing is, you know, just being kind, maybe holding the door, saying thank you. Just little things like that, that you lead by example. And 1 Timothy 4:12. I brought this verse up several times. There's certain verses I think can fit in every teaching. This is one of them. Sorry. I turn to 2 Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Be an example in word, in conversation, in charity. Now, only King James has in spirit. In faith, and the impurity. Now we have to be an example in all those things, but it also says be an example of the believers. So when we think of, you know, of believers, we normally think of quote unquote good people or, you know, law abiding citizens. But he wants us to be an example to those people in all these other things. You know, how many of us say a bad word? Or how about have a bad conversation or a bad joke? I know I'm a jokester, so there will be a lot of bad jokes coming at me a lot of times because I work at UPS and in the shop, and they like to tell me bad jokes. And the way you have to avoid it is you just have to walk away. And it's very hard to do because I like to laugh. And, you know, I do like to hear jokes, but now I can't be hearing and putting in filthy things into my head. So I just have to walk away. And sometimes it is very hard to do. So in charity, that's in love, in spirit. Now, the King James has, does anyone else have spirit? Am I the only one? Okay. We got two others. That's good. So in spirit, we took it as your all-around attitude. So if I'm always depressive, chances are my kids will always depressive. I'm very laid back, normally in a good mood. Most of the time, my kids are pretty much laid back and in a good mood. So it very much just flows with what I do, my kids will do. If I'm a good father, my kids will want to either, because I have all daughters, so hopefully they'll get a guy that's better than me, and that's always our hope. For our daughters. So in faith, you know, do we have faith that can move a mountain? And that sounds like a lot, but he says it only takes a mustard seed of faith to move a mountain. So it really isn't that much. We just need the faith. We need to be the example in faith to our children. In purity. Just all around pure. Can we say that we're all around pure even when the doors are closed? I know I can't. But that's tough. You know, be an example all the time. That's just hard to do. All right. Sorry if I yelled at you there. All right. Provides. Psalm 78:20. Sorry, there's a lot of flipping around. If you get the digital Bible, it's a lot faster, I think. Psalm 78:20. Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and the anger also came up against Israel. Now, it talks about he smote the rock and the waters. If we remember when the Israelites were going through the wilderness and they needed the water, and the Lord said, talk to the rock. Water will come from it. He provided. And he provided an everyday need for them. When this is talking about when he smote it, which is the Lord said to talk to it a couple times, and he was like, no, I'm just going to hit it. It's American made. I don't know. He just hit it, and water came forth. But he did it. He went about it the wrong way. He had the faith, sort of, because he thought hitting it would be faster, I guess. But, you know, the Lord provided. Now, when I'm also talking about this, I'm not only talking about our children. I'm talking about anybody that's younger than you, anyone that looks up to you, you know, because there could be someone older that looks up to you. Like in my case, I have someone that works for me that's older than me. So I'm like officially his boss, but he's older than me. So in this case, I can be an example to him, even though he's older. So when I'm saying, you know, father and children, I also just mean just anyone that you can help teach and anyone that you can influence, which if you think about who you influence on a daily basis, if you try to comprehend the number of people that you can actually encounter, you know, just coming here on the way to work today, on the way to church, you know, it's how many people that I encounter just on the way here or even before church. I could have affected 35 different people on the way here just by the way I drove. It's an everyday, and it's not just father with children, but we're looking at God as our father today, so that's why I keep saying that. So he provides. Do we provide needs for people that need it? He says, even the birds of the air are taken care of, so why wouldn't I take care of you? The next one, he protects. 1 Kings 18:21. You guys don't have to turn to all of these if you don't like to. First Kings. This is one of the, when I was a kid, this was one of my favorite stories. We'll just read 1 Kings 18:21-23. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord God be, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And Elijah said unto the people, I even only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450 men. We'll just stop there. This is the story of Elijah when it was 450, verse 1. They had the light, the altars. So Elijah had his altar over here, and they had 450 of Baal's prophets on this side. And the goal was to get the altars to light up. And whoever basically won, the other person died. I mean, so they danced around and cut themselves and prayed to their God and nothing happened. Then you had Elijah who had water dumped on his altar and he was like, my Lord will take care of this. And fire came from the heaven, lit his altar, and lit all the prophets up. He protects when it's needed. He takes care. He will stand out in the way of something coming. Mark 4:39 talks about when Jesus was in the boat and the rivers were getting rocky and he was just sleeping and the disciples were, oh no, we're gonna go over, we're gonna capsize. And these boats back then, these fishing boats weren't like what we have now. You know, they were wooden and they weren't as safe as or comfortable even as what we have now. And you know, Jesus wakes up and he was like, "Ye little faith," basically, and let the seas be calmed. He protects us when we're needed protection. The next one, he is generous. John 10:15. Now there, John 10:15. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know my Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Generosity. Now, is anyone here only child? So I'm going to pick on an only child. All right, that's good. All right, so if you ever see a family with an only child, it's not really the parents' fault because they don't know any better, but normally an only child tends to have more stuff than, not so much spoiled, but can be spoiled, but has more stuff than if there was two children in a family, right? We all see that, right? And that normally comes because it's their only child. They very much care, and there's a lot. The parents put a lot onto the only child because it's their only child. If, you know, something happens, they don't have another one to lean back on. It's just this one. God gave us his only child. And then Jesus willingly laid down his life. You know, he was in the garden praying, if you could take this cup from me, please do. But he still did it because he loves us. And so not only, like, he gives us everything we have, he gives us more than we need, but he will give us what's most precious to him even, his son's life. So a father is generous, and our Father, our Heavenly Father, is very generous. Romans 5:8. One thing about a father, especially, I know in my case, I can forgive my daughters no matter what they do. So, and the next one is a father is forgives. And no matter what my kids do to me, you know, I've been smacked in the face about 1,000 times and poked in the eye and they've screamed and screamed and screamed, and it doesn't really matter what they do. I get over whatever they did and I forgive them. And we think about how many times we sin in, we'll just say, a day. You think about that. And we'll just throw out a number. Just say it's like 10 times in one day. Then you have do it in a week. And that's 70 times. And you're like, man, that's a lot of times. And then you go through the whole year. So that's what, 36,000 times? 36,500 times, right? If you sin 10 times a day. I mean, then you times it by your age. And you're like, huh. And the Lord still forgives us. And if you don't think you sin that much, start naming your sins specifically and ask for forgiveness. Then you will realize how much you actually sin. So I remember when I was in high school and in youth group and stuff, and we had the goody two-shoes girl, and she's like, I don't really sin that much. And so the youth guy said, you know, name your sin when you confess. She came back the next week and I sin a lot. But excuse me, imagine a bad kid, how many times, if he had to, anyway. So he forgives us. Romans 5, 8. But God commandeth his love towards us, that and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So no matter what, the Lord is generous, even though we're sin. You know, he took it on from us, no matter how bad we were, and he knew we were bad, and he knew even after he died and sent his son that we would reject him. He already knew this. And it's like you go to a birthday party and you bring a present, and can you imagine, like, I know as soon as I give this person their present, they're just going to say, get out of here, I don't want you here. Like, would you give them the present, even if you didn't care about it? You know, it's, but the Lord, he gives us, and he just keeps on giving. So he leads. Exodus 13:21. Sorry, we are jumping all over the place, more so than the songs this morning. Now, we know this story too. Exodus 13:21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He leads. He's providing something. You know, this is when they had to leave and just keep walking. The Israelites had to leave, and they were walking, and they had the tabernacle with them and the ark, and they had to keep going. And so they walked. They most likely walked during the night because it was cooler, and tried to sleep a little bit during the day because they're out in the desert and things like that. So the Lord provided, and now he's leading. So one of the scriptures that I think should go in almost every message that is taught is Romans 12, 1 and 2. To be an example, be a living sacrifice for God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you don't know it, that's a good verse to just memorize and just meditate on it. Make your bodies a living sacrifice for God. You have to lead by example. So no matter what the circumstances, you know, like if your kids, your younger people, your coworkers, leading by an example is very tough to do. You know, if you know, we have all these boxes at work, and a lot of times, you know, we'll come out, we got to, like, there's a truck behind me, say, and we'll pull out a box, and we'll turn around. And a lot of times, there'll either be something on the ground right next to us, and we'll trip. What do we say when we trip? It's a, you know, an instance, and I just go, and I've trained myself to say, I'm all right, no matter what goes on. Like, even if I hit the ground hard, I just go, I'm all right. But other people can't do that, and, you know, things come out of their mouth that shouldn't. And can we be example? Can it, no matter what goes on, can we be the example? If something goes wrong, how do we react? And it's not only what we say, it's how we act about it too. And if we, you know, something bad happens and the kids come, what happened, Daddy? And we're just like, it's all right. You know, if that's the way we act, if we act like Eeyore on an everyday basis, it's not going to be good for our kids or anybody watching, because we have God. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of our heart. That was on the card, I think, by Mr. Ward, right? And if we delight in it, no matter what, and, you know, sometimes, like, you know, if someone dies and things like that, it's okay to grieve and be sad and upset, but, you know, delight yourself and he will give you the desires of your heart. It will be okay. But you have to be an example just in your everyday. Another thing, he unifies a family. Matthew 18. I feel like I should do sword drills for you guys. You guys know what those are? You just hold your Bible up and I tell the reference and you guys gotta boom. All right. Matthew 18:20. For two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. He unifies. There was a family in my school named the Harrises, and they had five children, and they always had somebody else stay at their house. So all they had was like a little minivan, and nicest people ever. And every time Mr. Harris and Mrs. Harris would come in, anytime Mr. Harris was there, though, the kids were in an exact line, and I used to always call it the Harris Parade, because it was Mr. Harris, then Mrs. Harris, and then boom, 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 boom. It was just like a perfect, and then sometimes Mrs. Harris would stay on the back, and then so it would almost perfectly go like this, and then back up one. But the father, anytime the father was around, the kids were in a line. The kids were always facing the father. The father was always leading. And he was a great example just in every day. He was a very generous guy. He always had somebody else in his house. He was over there, like if the kids wanted like a little snack, like, you know, they had like little candies and stuff at these like basketball games and things, and he was over there buying all the other kids candy. And Mr. Harris was not like, he didn't make a lot of money. So you know, like, I mean, he was pulling change out, paying for this too. It was just a very generous, God-fearing man that unified his family. That's what our Father does for us. When two or three are here, there I am. You know, we could come together in an everyday situation and we could talk about God. We have one thing that we all have in common. I flew on a plane last weekend, and the person that sat next to me, she was from South Carolina. She was taller than I was. So it was funny. We were both like squashed up in the seat. And when I sat down, she was on the phone. She was very loud on the phone. I don't know why she was using it. She should have just yelled out the window. But she was going, is all we did the whole time I was there was praise Jesus. We were singing songs. It was beautiful. I got to go. I'm on the plane. Bye. So I was like, I couldn't help but overhearing. I said, do you go to church? And she's like, oh, yeah. She's like, I love Jesus. And she's just, we started talking for, you know, 40 minutes about, you know, the little conference that she came from and how they were singing. We had a one common denominator, who was Jesus. And our Father is just unifying. And when I'm working and stuff like that, and I seem to be just drawn to anybody that goes to church. And I was getting glasses one time, and there's the lady there, and every time I came in, we would talk, and we always had something to talk about. We both didn't know each other, and it was the only one I seemed to talk to, and the doctor came in, and he goes, if I remember right, you're a church guy, right? And I was like, yeah. He goes, do you know her from church? And I said, no. And he's like, that's the only church person I have in here. And he goes, you two always seem to talk. I don't get it. And I was like, well, think about it. I was like, that's something that comes from above. I was like, God knows what he's doing. I go, there's no coincidences. You know, and it really does happen to me all the time. It is amazing. But we can always find somebody and talk about God. And if they don't know God, start talking about God so they do know God, so you have that unifying thing. And now the big one that all this can fit into for a father is 1 John 4:7. God is love. Now it doesn't say that God loves. It says he is love. He's the definition of love. He loves us more than we can comprehend. And, you know, we could say that to our younger kids that like my children, they won't really understand how much I love them until they have their children, right? But eventually, they will have that concept of how much that I love them. We, however, can never understand the concept of how much Jesus and God loves us, how he is our father figure, how he looks over us and just continually forgives us. He is just an amazing God. He comes from heaven. He's the only God that's ever came descending down from a heaven and gone back. Every other God has been here and then descended up. You know, this world it's a very sad place. There's over 40% of children tonight will go to bed without a father. Over 40%. You know, that's just a crazy number. It's 60% of children born to a 30-year-old woman are not married. They're not in a marriage relationship. That means that they don't have that, most likely they won't have that proper father, mother. You know, it's not in all cases. My father came from a very broken home, and obviously he does okay. So obviously that doesn't, it all has to do with the child, and the mother can definitely bring up, she can be both people, the father and the, but nothing works as good as a father and a mother. And if it's only the mother bringing him up, this is where we need God the Father to really step in, and we need to take him and love him, and we need to just show people, you know, God the Father. This is God the Father. He can be your father. He could be there for you. He loves you, provide for you, and have the faith for you. And, you know, we have to help out those in need. If we see a young one, a young person that needs this father type figure, you know, we really should step in, help out. You know, we don't have to just take over. Ask, can I help you in any way? Can I bring you, you know, do you want to go to the batting cages? Do you want to just run around at the park with me for a little while, kick the ball? You know, we can do these things and just help out and show love. Heavenly, we could show the love that God the Father would want us to show these children, these young ones. You know, that I just told you a very sad, you know, percentages. That's very upsetting. When I first heard it, I almost cried. That's very sad. And the only way to fix that overall is to just, we should keep showing love. And maybe it will never change and never be fixed, but we can at least try and show love that the Father have. And let's just, in closing, let's just thank the Lord for just loving us, for giving us, being there for us. And no matter how bad we are, he's there for us. And I just want to thank the Lord this morning. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you for being our Father, for being there for us, for providing, for loving us, and forgiving us, and most of all, sending your Son for us and loving us that much. We just pray that we'll be able to show the same love that you showed us to others, and that we'll just live our life for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.